Social Skills Coaching by Patrick King, a Newton Media Group production. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. Can you recall the last time you felt excluded or left out of conversation because some other people were sharing an inside joke? Patrick King today turns that around for us and gives us instruction on how to create the camaraderie formed by an inside joke and help you make better small talk. In any conversation, there is a high point. There might be multiple memorable points, but by definition, one part is the best and brightest. This can take many different forms. You can share a big laugh. You can both get emotional and cry. You share a strong perspective on an issue that no one else does. You witness something either horrifying or hilarious together. You both struggle not to laugh when you observe something. You finish each other's sentences. Most of the time, if you do it correctly, your stories become high points because of the emotional impact and pure intrigue you can use them to create. This makes it easy because you're planting the seed of connection for you to harvest later. Coincidentally, calling back to this high point later is what a deconstructed inside joke looks like. Therefore, to easily create an inside joke, all you have to do is refer to the high point later in the conversation. Take note of it and put it in your pocket for use in the near future. Don't let it go sour like month-old milk that you're afraid to throw away because of the smell. Assuming that you told a good story or elicited a good story earlier in the conversation, all you need to do is refer to it in the context of your current topic. For example, you told a story about your favorite kind of dog earlier in the conversation. There was a high point about comparing yourself to a wiener dog because your shape makes it unavoidable. Now your current topic of conversation is fashion, personal style, and different types of jackets. How do you call back to the wiener dog high point by referring to it in the context of jackets? Yeah, unfortunately, I can't wear that type of jacket because I'm mostly similar to the wiener dog, remember? Bring up the first topic, hopefully the topic of your story, and then use it in the current subject. You are repeating the old topic in a new context, and this tends to be better received, even if it wasn't funny the first time. And the best part is that you can keep doing this with the same thing to create an even stronger, unique bond. Inside joke. Listen for something funny or notable that you would classify as a conversational high point. Keep it in your pocket. Wait, like a cheetah in the tall grass of the savanna, to see a different context or topic you can repeat it in, and then unleash it. Here's another example. Prior conversational high point, a story about hating parking lots. Current topic of conversation, the weather. Callback. Yeah, the rain will definitely be welcome when we can't find parking spots within 10 blocks of our apartment. And here's one more. Prior conversational high point, a story about loving donuts. Current topic of conversation, hating work. Callback. Well, what if your office provided free donuts? How many would you need to change your opinion of work? In the same way an orchestra conductor can hit the same high musical motif throughout different arrangements and songs, you can keep referring to this conversation high point. Voila, you've just created an inside joke from thin air. Ask for stories. Most of the focus with stories is usually on telling them. What about soliciting them from others and allowing them to feel as good as you do when a story lands well? What about stepping aside and giving other people the spotlight, an underrated skill in conversation and life in general? Well, it's just a matter of how you ask for others' stories. There are ways to make people gab for hours and approaches where people will feel compelled to give a terse one-word answer. For instance, when you watch sports, one of the most illogical parts is the post-game or post-match interview. These athletes are still caught in the throes of adrenaline, out of breath, and occasionally drip sweat onto the reporters. It's not a situation conducive to good stories or even answers. Yet, when you're watching a broadcaster interview an athlete, does anything odd strike you about the questions they ask? The interviewers are put into an impossible situation and usually walk away with decent sound bites, at the very least not audio disasters. Their duty is to elicit a coherent answer from someone who is mentally incoherent at the moment. How do they do that? They'll ask questions like, "So, tell me about that moment in the second quarter. What did you feel about it? And how did the coach turn it around then?" As opposed to, "How'd you guys win?" Or, "How did you turn this match around, come back, and pull out all the stops to grab the victory at the very end?" As opposed to, "How was the comeback?" The key? They ask for a story rather than an answer. They phrase their inquiry in a way that can only be answered with a story, in fact. Reporters provide the athletes with detail, context, and boundaries to set them up to talk as much as possible instead of providing a breathless one-word answer. It's almost as if they provide the athletes with an outline of what they want to hear and how they can proceed. They make it easy for them to tell a story and simply engage. It's like if someone asks you a question, but in the question, tells you exactly what they want to hear as hints. Sometimes we think we are doing the heavy lifting in a conversation, and the other party isn't giving us much to work with. But that's an excuse that obscures the fact we aren't making it easy for them. They might not be giving you much, but you also might be asking them the wrong questions, which is leading them to provide terrible responses. In fact, if you think you're shouldering the burden, you are definitely asking the wrong questions. Conversation can be much more pleasant for everyone involved if you provide fertile ground for people to work in. Don't set the other person up to fail and be a poor conversationalist. That will only make you invest and care less and cause the conversation to die out. When people ask me low-effort, vague questions, I know they probably aren't interested in the answer. They're just filling the time in silence. To create win-win conversations and better circumstances for all, ask for stories the way the sports broadcasters do. Ask questions in a way that makes people want to share. Stories are personal, emotional, and compelling. There's a thought process and narrative that necessarily exists. They are what show your personality and are how you can learn about someone. They reveal people's emotions and how they think. Last but not least, they show what you care about. Compare this with simply asking for closed-ended answers. These answers are often too boring and routine for people to care. They'll still respond to your questions, but in a very literal way, and the level of engagement won't be there. Peppering people with shallow questions puts them in a position to fail conversationally. It's the difference between asking, "What was the best part of your day so far? Tell me how you got that parking space so close," instead of just, "How are you?" When you ask somebody the second question, you're looking for a quick, uninvolved answer. You're being lazy and either don't care about their answer or want them to carry the conversational burden. When you ask somebody one of the first two questions, you're inviting them to tell a specific story about their day. You're encouraging them to narrate the series of events that made their day great or not, and your query can't really be covered with a one-word answer. Another example is, "What is the most exciting part of your job? How does it feel to make a difference like that?" instead of simply asking them the generic, "What do you do?" When you only ask somebody what they do for a living, you know exactly how the rest of the conversation will go. "Oh, I do X. What about you?" A final example is, "How did you feel about your weekend? What was the best part? It was so nice outside," instead of just, "How was your weekend?" Prompting others for stories instead of simple answers gives them a chance to speak in such a way that they feel emotionally invested. This increases the sense of meaning they derive from the conversation. It also makes them feel you are genuinely interested in hearing their answer, because your question doesn't sound generic.
If you want to learn more about making better small talk, check out the show notes for the link to Audible and the audiobook Better Small Talk. Talk to anyone, avoid awkwardness, generate deep conversations, and make real friends by Patrick King. You'll also find a link to the episode transcript and Patrick King's homepage where you can request his free mini ebook on conversation tactics. Thanks for listening today. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you Friday.